Welcome to The Metabolic Link, a medical and science-focused podcast that explores the common thread of metabolism in health and disease. This is where science meets society.
Hi, I'm Dr. Georgia Ead. I'm a nutritional and metabolic psychiatrist practicing in Massachusetts, and I'm the author of a new book called Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind. I first became interested in the relationship between metabolic health and mental health when I started studying nutrition for the first time for completely different reasons, and came across information about ketogenic diets for epilepsy. It's been known for over 100 years now that ketogenic diets can stabilize brain chemistry in people with epilepsy. And as a psychiatrist who had been prescribing epilepsy medications to people with bipolar disorder for many years, it struck me that if a diet could help with epilepsy, could it also help with bipolar disorder? And I started to think about epilepsy because there are so many similarities, underlying biochemical similarities between epilepsy and bipolar disorder. I started to think about bipolar disorder as a sort of emotional epilepsy, and started wondering whether or not a ketogenic diet could be useful in stabilizing brain chemistry in people with mood disorders. And so that one thing led to another, and I began to study ketogenic diets specifically, not just for bipolar disorder, but for all aspects of mental health. So I first started incorporating nutrition principles into my clinical work in 2009. At that point, it really wasn't about ketogenic diets. It was about whole food principles and, you know, meeting the brain's nutritional requirements with less toxicity, less inflammation, less oxidative stress. And then really from there, as I studied the ketogenic diet more and more, about 2012, 2013 was when I started incorporating ketogenic diets into my clinical work in private practice. And what I started to notice was that regardless of the diagnosis, the ketogenic diet seemed to have unique therapeutic benefits that medications that I'd never seen possible with medication. So whether the issue was an attention issue or a memory issue or a mood issue, concentration issue, productivity, sleep, whatever the issue was, that a ketogenic diet seemed to have benefits for almost everybody who was willing to try it. Now, certainly it does not work for everybody, but the vast majority of people I've worked with over these many years have benefited in some noticeable and meaningful way to a ketogenic diet if they're willing to follow it. In terms of the role that ketones specifically, how it is that ketones specifically help mental health, for example, for a lot of people who have insulin resistance, meaning that over the years from eating the wrong way, following a high insulin lifestyle that's led to high insulin levels, say for example, eating too many of the wrong carbohydrates too often over many, many years, which places a tremendous demand on our insulin production system and insulin signaling system. Over time, that can damage the insulin signaling system and make it more and more difficult for cells throughout the body to respond to insulin's important messages. So this includes in the brain. So what happens in the brain in people with insulin resistance is that the more insulin resistant they become, the harder and harder it is for insulin itself to cross into the brain. So glucose still crosses in, no questions asked, but insulin has a more and more difficult time. And so the more insulin resistant you are, the lower your brain insulin level can be. So what you can see is, in people with insulin resistance, is you can see a brain swimming in a sea of glucose and still be slowly starving to death because the brain can't process glucose to full capacity efficiently without adequate insulin. When you then place somebody on a ketogenic diet and they start to burn fat for energy and turn that fat into ketones, those ketones cross easily into the brain, even in people with severe insulin resistance, and they can bridge that energy gap. If you then place the person on a ketogenic diet, those ketones will cross easily into the brain and they can bridge that energy gap that is left by that sluggish brain glucose processing. So now the brain is now running on two fuels, some glucose, the brain does still need some glucose at all times, but all of those sputtering cells that have been trying to get by with not quite adequate glucose processing for a long period of time, those can come back online, and often even within a matter of a few days, people will notice a difference in their ability to concentrate, their ability to think clearly, and a much more stable mood and better mental energy, mental clarity. So the ketones revitalize the brain's energy supply in people with insulin resistance. Metabolic health is simply the how your cells are functioning from day to day. How are they getting their energy? How are they taking care of themselves? How are they clearing away waste products? It's really the day-to-day operation system of the cell. And so metabolic health is the day-to-day operational health of all of your cells. So of course then it would make sense that you couldn't have excellent mental health without excellent metabolic health, because the brain is full of cells that need to have all of their requirements met. So when people go on a ketogenic diet, it's as though they're shifting their brain's operating system sort of to a more efficient mode, where all of the pathways, not just one pathway here or there, the way medications work, but all of the, you know, each cell's energy production systems, operational systems, management systems, waste disposal systems, every system of every single one of those cells is functioning more efficiently. And so when that happens, of course, the brain will work better. And so no matter what kind of a mental health issue you have or how long you've had it, you can see substantial improvements in sort of overall brain health and overall in symptoms of a wide variety of mental health disorders. So many people underappreciate the powerful role of nutrition in brain health. So when I was in medical school, 4 years of medical school, we probably had 2 or 3 hours worth of nutrition education and nothing about the relationship between food and the brain. And then 4 years of psychiatry residency, we didn't talk about food once. So when I left residency, it did not cross my mind that the food choices we made were having an impact on our mental health. And so it wouldn't be until 10 years later, after practicing conventionally, prescribing medications, offering psychotherapy, and despite loving my work and really enjoying all the aspects of my work, most of my patients weren't getting better. And I wasn't alone. My colleagues also, some of whom had been practicing for decades, all of our practices were filling up with patients who weren't getting that much better. So when I started studying nutrition, and I came to the realization of how fundamentally important our food choices are to our brain health, what I learned was that most of the information that we have about nutrition and how to feed our bodies and our brains is incorrect. So what we really need to be thinking about, you know, we've thought about for so long, you know, what is a heart-healthy diet? What is a diet that's healthy for your waistline? We don't usually ask, well, what is a brain-healthy diet? And a brain-healthy diet is very different when you look at the actual science of how cells work and how foods work in the body. What the brain needs in order to produce energy and maintain itself and work properly and maintain its beautiful balance of neurotransmitters and all the other important things the brain does is that you need to nourish the brain with all essential nutrients, which the standard guidelines do not do. You need to protect the brain from damaging ingredients in the diet, which our modern guidelines do not do. And you need to energize the brain safely over the lifespan in a way that protects brain metabolism, and which our modern diets do not do. And really that last point about energizing the brain safely over the lifespan is largely to do with keeping glucose and insulin levels in a healthy range. So my hope for the future of mental health, so the reason I wrote this book, it's called Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind, is because I want people to know how much more control they have over their mental health than they realize, and how quickly they can experience really profound changes in the way they think, in the way they feel, and the way they behave, if they understand which dietary changes are most worth making and why. Because so much of what we're told about brain food is about strategies that do not work. Putting more blueberries on top of your oatmeal, putting flax seeds in your smoothie, having more dark chocolate, drinking more red wine, these strategies, they don't work. Not only don't they work, they actually can work against you because there's no science behind these strategies. And this theory that all we need to do is eat more plant foods, more colorful plant foods full of antioxidants, that superfood strategy, not only doesn't it work, but the foods that we're being told to consume, or the products we're being told to consume that are so rich in these antioxidants, are usually also loaded either with sugar or with alcohol. So for example, in the case of dark chocolate, sugar. In the case of red wine, alcohol. What you're doing is you might have a tiny little bit of a plant antioxidant inside, you know, those foods or beverages. But in the case of chocolate, it's surrounded by sugar, which is a powerful promoter of oxidative stress, which is what we're trying to fight with antioxidants in the first place. In the case of red wine, that little lonely milligram of resveratrol, that antioxidant in red wine that's supposed to be so good for the brain, is swimming in a sea of alcohol, which is another powerful promoter of oxidative stress that we're trying to fight with antioxidants. So I think what people, I wish people understood more, and what I explain in the book, is that your body doesn't need antioxidants from the outside. Your cells are equipped with their own internal antioxidants to deal with oxidative stress. So the question is, why do we have so much excessive oxidative stress in the first place? And all that excess oxidative stress that we're told to eat more antioxidants for, it's coming from the foods we're eating. So if you know which foods are the root cause of that oxidative stress, and you remove those from the diet, then your own internal antioxidant systems can mop up those excess free radicals that we naturally expect to see from, you know, eating even a healthy whole foods diet. There's a certain amount of oxidative stress that we are naturally supposed to see when we eat. It's part and parcel of food processing. But so if you take the culprits out of the way and let your body, you can trust your body to do the rest. So when people go on a ketogenic diet, especially if it's a whole foods properly constructed, well-formulated ketogenic diet, one of the reasons why that is such a powerful antioxidant strategy is because it removes so much of the sugar and flour and other refined carbohydrates that promote the oxidative stress in the first place. So the Metabolic Health Summit is important because it focuses on really the root causes of most of the chronic mental and physical health diseases we all fear. So whether it's depression or dementia or obesity or cardiovascular disease or fatty liver disease, certain forms of cancer, all of these conditions that we think of as normal parts of aging, all of these conditions which we think we have so little control over, they're really rooted in living a high insulin lifestyle. And most of metabolic health has to do with controlling your insulin levels, and not about your glucose levels, because you know, as so many people who come to this conference already know, we're not looking at the right markers. Most people, at least in this country, are taught to believe that I think people are starting to understand they do need to pay attention to their blood sugar levels, but their blood sugar levels are one of the last dominoes to fall, is the fasting blood sugar. And that's the test that most people get when they go to their healthcare practitioner. But by the time your fasting blood sugar level is above normal, then you already have a significant amount of metabolic damage. What you want to know is how much insulin is it taking for you to keep that fasting blood sugar under control? And because those high insulin levels are what are damaging your metabolism over time. They're damaging your insulin signaling system. They are slowly, silently choking off your brain's energy supply. And of course, that's going to lead to all kinds of problems for every cell in the body, not just the brain cells. But where it comes to the brain, it's particularly important, because one of the diseases we all fear and that we feel we have no control over is Alzheimer's disease. When actually we know, we've been known for 20 years now, that there's a huge relationship. There's not just an association between insulin resistance and Alzheimer's disease. There is actually a direct causal relationship between insulin resistance and Alzheimer's disease. And most people don't know that. So most people don't know that there's already something they can do right now that could dramatically reduce their risk for Alzheimer's disease. So the Metabolic Health Summit is really important because it helps get the word out to more people to pay attention not just to their glucose levels, but to their insulin levels, to all these other markers of metabolic health, such as, you know, to pay attention to your waistline and pay attention to your triglyceride levels, and maybe even invest in a glucose monitor for a couple of weeks and see what's happening after you eat the breakfast that you think is so healthy for you. Just get curious, get and feel empowered to do something to turn things around. So many of these diseases we're told we have no control over, and that all we can do is take more medication, or that it runs in our families. And what the Metabolic Health Summit does is it tells people, you know, this is something we already know how to manage. And so you can take control right now and change the course of your future if you have the right information. So the Metabolic Health Initiative is really important because we need credible, science-based, evidence-based education platforms to help clinicians who may be more skeptical or who may not have enough information to see how powerful the science is and hear it from credible sources that they can trust, and then bring that information into their clinical work. So, and I have experience with this. I teach a training program, a CME accredited training program for clinicians in ketogenic diets for mental health. And my experience with that, having taught that course for almost 4 years now, is that people are really hungry for this kind of information. People want new strategies to offer their patients. They want the information. They want to be able to share new cutting edge ideas and therapies that actually work. And they need the information and they need the tools to be able to do it. So for example, with the Metabolic Health Initiative, which being run by leading clinicians and researchers in the field, scientists in the field, that I think that will really help to educate the next generation of clinicians, so that it will start to become normal, and to incorporate these kinds of principles into everyday clinical practice. I think very quickly, with the help of the Metabolic Health Initiative, people who don't practice this way are going to start to be viewed as using outdated strategies. And that's exactly what we need to happen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Metabolic Link. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share, subscribe, follow, and leave us a comment or review on whichever platform you use to tune in. We hope you'll join us next time.